What is going on? Welcome back. Welcome back. It is your man Hendo here, and this is Any Given Sunday. And today, as you can see, I have a brand new co-host. How you doing today, Yolanda?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And if you didn't know, and if my co-host was on her job, this is a dual stream.
It is. Yes.
You click the button?
I don't have a button.
Top right hand corner, it should say you can stream to your channel. On the screen. Look on the screen. Look on the screen. Top right.
I know, I'm looking and I don't see it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Let's keep going.
Okay. Well, listen, we are here to talk today about the week in review. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens as the first week of free agency is now come and gone. And the Ravens have not made many moves, but some think that they have made very strong moves. I myself, it's a mixed bag. How do you feel? How do you feel about this free agency period, Yolanda?
So far, I'm feeling it's a bit of a mixed bag for me. I think I'm happy. I'm excited, but I'm also looking at all of the other teams who are making moves, especially as it pertains to our players going to other AFC North teams. Okay. And it makes me a little nervous. So I want to know what the Ravens' next move is going to be. So this is an exercise in patience for me, for sure.
So like the question says, could they have done more, in your opinion, in this first wave? Because, you know, we still have time. There are going to be some June 1st cuts. There are going to be some players that are surprisingly released, some trades. So as it stands right now, do you think that the Ravens could have done more? Because there have been some surprises with the Ravens roster going forward.
Absolutely, there can be more. I still want a wide receiver. I think we are going to address O-line in the draft. That's kind of where I'm leaning to. So, okay, we didn't make a splash in free agency with respect to offensive linemen. That's okay. But we had several wide receivers out there as free agents. Why didn't we address it? What are we waiting on? We still need a number one wide receiver. Do I think Zay Flowers could be it? Maybe. But my biggest concern is Zay Flowers and Lamar Jackson's inability to connect on the deep ball.
Correct. Before we move on, let's see who we got up here in the chat. And of course, as always, we got Brandon Bazell. Who's first? What's going on, Bazell? Osman, what is going on? Osman, you still have not joined the Discord. You joined LBHT's Discord. You did not join mine. So, you know, when you get a chance, hit the link up, come hang out, have some fun. Look, somebody's not too busy. Rodney, what's going on? How you feeling today? What's up, people? How you feeling? We got Brandon Buckingham in the house. My man Jose, what's going on? Blackula, what's up? Brandon, how you feeling? Yes, sir. AFC North is making moves. And yes, Jose, it's the button in the top right-hand side. It should be a blue button.
I'll get to it eventually. I promise.
So you're going to wait for the stream to be over for you to stream to your channel?
I'm working on it now.
If you're looking at the screen.
No, but I have to type in all of the caption. I've already clicked the button. Now it's asking me to type in the title, the description, and all of that.
Oh, you found it at the top right?
The other right, but yes. It was in the top right.
Of course it was. It's always where we tell you it is. You just don't seem to listen. We got Big Reg in the house. What's going on? Yes, that freeze frame was insane the way her face was positioned as it froze. I'm still crying about it. You'll see it later, but
I'll have to watch the replay.
All right. Are you finished doing what you need to do so we can proceed?
No, I was telling everybody hi, but go ahead. Continue.
I mean,
certainly don't leave me. I'm almost done.
Okay, well, take your time. You know, it's not like we have a show to do.
Carry on.
Pass. Hard pass. You give us a third and we'll take TMJ. We almost drafted that guy, unfortunately. Mm. He was on our radar until he opened his mouth and was like, I want to play for y'all. Thank goodness. Because we could have had him instead of Rashad Bateman. But that's another story for another video. Are you done? Because now you just make a noise.
I know, but I had to type it. Let's go. I'm done.
You sure? Are you streaming to your channel now?
I will be in a moment.
All right, now there we go. Rodney. Yes, we would be able to tell the difference. There's a difference between 350 yards and a touchdown and 182 yards and no touchdowns. It's not that big of a gap. There is a gap, sir. But now that she's ready, let's move on with the show. We're going to dive into the Baltimore Ravens and the free agent movement that has happened throughout the week. And anytime you feel free, Yolanda, just jump in and tell me how you feel. So the first thing we're going to get into is the free agent signings. And the first free agent signing was the biggest of all for most Baltimore Ravens fans, where the Baltimore Ravens re-signed Justin Madubuike for a four-year, $98 million deal. Do you think that is the right move? Because a lot of people really don't feel like it was the best move or the best allocation of money that the Ravens could have put forth.
I think it was a good move to re-sign him. I just don't like the price tag. And so by virtue of that, does that make it a bad move? You know, that's up for you to decide. But my thoughts are we need Justin Madubuike, especially after how he played last year. And as we look at these other teams that are in the AFC North and beyond, mm-hmm. who are taking their offense to the next level, we're really going to need Justin Madubuike. I just don't like the price tag. But he earned his money. He earned it, and I can't fault him for that. I'm just concerned that we have so many gaping holes on this team, on this roster right now, and to not address a good portion of it prior to the draft concerns me. And while we are in free agency, I would like to see us do more mm-hmm. so that we don't have to put the load at multiple positions on first year, you know, players.
Yeah, I will agree, because once we go down this list, you're going to see that the Ravens have lost a lot of players in the first week alone. Just in the first week alone, we are not done. I know that Jadeveon Clowney is down in Carolina. Well, he visited with the Carolina Panthers. He is headed up to New York right now to visit with the Jets. Like, there are just so many moving pieces of this. And I just think, I hope, and I pray, and don't kill me, I hope that this Justin Madubuike signing, and it's not apples to apples, but I hope it doesn't come back to haunt us like the Brandon Williams signing.
I hope.
$55 million, and it was just like, do we need him? Is it going to work out? Is it really worth this money? And it turned out not to be. So hopefully he can continue to ascend, his talents can get greater, and he can prove that he was worth the money. But I just think that in this day and age, we've talked about this a lot, the Ravens would do better to shore up the offense and put pieces around Lamar Jackson. All right, what they saying? What's up, Davon? How you feeling?
Hi, Davon. Absolutely. You're 100% correct in that, Hendo. We have a lot of work to do. As a team, we have a lot of work to do. And I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more from our front office last week. But again, that just means I need to work on patience and truly believe that Eric DaCosta is doing what he needs to do, and he's going to address all of the issues that we have.
D-Bank says, what more do you guys really think we can do at this point? There's a lot we can really do. For starters, you know, I like to plan ahead. I like to think forward. And we'll get into some of this later, but you could have replaced a starting tackle before you traded a tackle. You know that you were having problems with two of your guards. You didn't know what was going to happen with Ronnie Stanley, but you traded away your right tackle. Morgan Moses may not have been the best right tackle in the league, but at least have a plan in place. And my thing is, most of the better offensive linemen are off the board. There's still a couple left, but you know, the Ravens like to sit back and wait for the price to go down on players. So they could have been a little more busy or had something in place just in case. That's all I'm saying. If you wanted to trade them, cool. Or get yourself a wide receiver like Hollywood Brown going. And I know a lot of people are saying, I don't care about Hollywood, but just Hollywood Brown going somewhere for $7 million. That is something that I think we could have afforded and would have brought us another piece. And I'm not saying Hollywood's a number one, and we could have brought in another number one. And you just think about it. You have a stud number one, you got Hollywood, and you got Flowers, and then Nelson Aguilar coming off the bench and Bateman. Who's going to stop us?
Right. And talking about that signing for the Chiefs, they have Patrick Mahomes, arguably the best quarterback in the league. And, you know, I'm always going to say Lamar Jackson's the best, but
he's darn good.
I mean, one and two, if you want to rank them that way, one and two. You pick which one you want to put up number one, and you pick which one you want as number two. But the point is, he's going to a dynamic quarterback with an awesome offense, with a head coach who is offensive minded. And this head coach saw the struggles that the team had offensively last season. And he said, I'm going to address it right now. And he did.
Yeah. Well, one thing that he did address, and to some surprise, joy, to some disappointment, the Ravens signed Derrick Henry to a 2-year, $16 million deal that can be worth up to $20 million with incentives. To you, Yolanda, was this a good move? Was this a good sign for the Ravens, or did they let some of the younger, fresher backs get signed first before they settled on what was left, in your opinion?
Sure. The argument can be made that there are other younger, less injured players, Saquon Barkley and others, just to name a few. But I'm still very happy that we picked up Derrick Henry. I believe in him. Mm-hmm. And unless and until he proves me otherwise, I think it was a great signing. I'm standing by that. I said that a week ago when we actually picked him up, or last week when we signed him, and I'm still there. I'm still thinking the same thing. We needed a threat, especially if we're going to call ourselves a run first team, a run dominant team. We just didn't have that in Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, and injured J.K. Dobbins, and then
Melvin Gordon.
So for a time, it's just, for me, this was good. This was a really good signing, but we do not need to stop there. We certainly need to bring in additional weapons for Lamar.
All right. So who has more yards next year, Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Facts. Yeah. All right. Next signing. The Ravens bring back Nelson Aguilar. He signs a 1-year, $3.75 million deal. Do you think this was a good signing, or do you think it was just a placeholder just for them to have some kind of name value that the Ravens said, hey, we made a move. We bought back a weapon that Lamar loves.
No, I think it was a good signing. It was $3.75 million. That's not too bad. And for 1 year, I think it was a good signing because he and Lamar had a good chemistry. And to me, Nelson is going to be great as a depth piece. He's not wide receiver one. Number two, depending on what moves we make, he might not even be wide receiver number three. But I was very pleased with that signing.
Okay. All right. Well, that is pretty much it for what the Ravens brought in. Now we're going to talk about some of the subtractions, starting with today's signing. Listen, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm a little sad. You know, my heart is hurting. The Ravens lost another Pro Bowler. It's not hard to come by Pro Bowls these days. And lo and behold, Tyler Huntley signs with the Cleveland Browns.
Mm.
Wow, what are we going to do?
Listen, let me just keep it real here. I wanted Tyler Huntley to stay. I did. But I knew he was entering free agency, and I figured the likelihood of that happening was pretty much slim to none.
Right.
I just didn't want him to go to another AFC North team, like a lot of these other players that I'm sure we'll talk about today or tonight. But Cleveland Browns?
Listen, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
I keep hearing that.
Except for an instance of Tyler Huntley. Now, there are some moves that may help shift the power in the AFC North. But as far as Tyler Huntley goes, to me, the man can't throw past 20 yards. Who is he scaring?
It's not about who he's scaring. Hmm? If he can throw 20 yards and he can keep his offense on the field, because again, he's coming there to be a backup. His role is not, I'm going to take command of this offense as a starter. his role is, you know, God forbid, if there's an injury or if someone can't go for a game, he will then step in.
No, he will not. He's the third stringer.
Right. Okay. Well, then there you go.
Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston signed to be the
backup. That's right. That's right. They did just sign Jameis. Okay. So he's number three. So, I mean, what does it matter? Hi, Nana. What does it matter if he can throw beyond 20 yards? It really doesn't.
Does it matter? If you have because a good defense,
probably then, not going to get called.
But if you but listen, Cleveland went through five quarterbacks last year. You never know.
You're right.
Never know. Never know what's going on, Jared. All right. So next up is one of the bigger losses for the Baltimore Ravens, and that is Patrick Queen. He signs with the hated division rival Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, do you feel any kind of way about this? Because I know a lot of Ravens fans, you know, they're up in arms, and we'll discuss that a little bit later. But do you think that this was a good sign for the Steelers? I think it was a great sign for the Steelers.
I think
that it helps them out, and, you know, it may be a loss for us. This was another one of those indicators where EDC drafts a player, he doesn't show up till the end of his career, then he signs a big money deal elsewhere. So, you know, we had no need for two $15, $20 million off-ball linebackers. Now, I know he only signed for $13.5 million a season, but I think with the way that the salary cap is constructed for us right now, that was a little too rich for our blood.
Agreed. That one was probably the most painful. That and J.K. Dobbs. I'm sorry, that and Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards was a tough one. Tyler will be fourth behind DTR. Okay, right. Well, see, there you go. So it really doesn't matter if he can throw beyond 20 yards or not. Really, it doesn't.
They went through five last year. Five.
That's true enough. But for me, losing Patrick Queen was tough.
Great.
And I think it would have been a little bit easier had he gone to where I thought he was going, Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have said, okay, I understand. But him going to the enemy's camp?
Right.
Going to the Steelers? But for him, that's great. Good for you, Patrick Queen. I'm very happy for you. Very excited. I just don't want him to do well when he plays against the Ravens. But other than that.
All right. I like Patrick Queen more now.
Why?
I like him.
Because
I understand his level of petty. I understand it. I respect that level of petty. Like, that takes commitment to take less money. That level of petty, only few can attain. And I respect that from him. So, yeah. Next up, we got the Ravens losing Ronald Darby. He signs with the Southern Baltimore Raven Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, this was a sign for me that I thought that the Ravens were actually going to re-sign him. He did pretty well. I think he had the lowest completion percentage against him as far as the cornerback room went. And I thought that the Ravens were going to sign the hometown kid, Florida State Seminole. I thought he was going to be back here just in case they wanted to do something with Marlowe and move Brandon Stevens up to number one. But, hey, I guess the money was in Jacksonville, and that's where he went.
Right. That one wasn't too big of a surprise for me.
Really?
Mm-mm. No. It wasn't. I mean, I saw it and I was like, oh, okay. Like I said, the two big ones for me, Patrick Queen, not that he was leaving, just where he landed. Right. Patrick Queen to the Steelers, and then Gus Edwards.
All right. So speaking of Gus, Gus Edwards signs with the Los Angeles Chargers. He goes from one Harbaugh to the next Harbaugh. He reunites with offensive coordinator Greg Roman, a system that he is familiar with. So he's going to get his 4.6 yards per carry. He's going to get his 600-700 yards, maybe 4 or 5 touchdowns. He went to a situation that actually paid him. Once again, I'm always pro player. I'm always happy when a guy can get his money, and he went where the money was. And to me, even I know that Gus was in the Ravens contingency plan, but my thing is, don't make me an afterthought. Don't wait for free agency to die down and say, hey, bruh, I ain't forgot about you. Come on back here. Come on. You know I love you. I don't need that. I don't need to be sloppy seconds. And I felt like he was like, yo, I'm going where I'm wanted. I'm going where the money is. So he jetted. So, you know, top 20 Gus is now off to play with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and that's right. I absolutely agree with you there. having you know, being where you're wanted versus being where you're just kind of like tolerated, or, you know, you want to be somewhere where you feel valued and where you feel appreciated. And perhaps Gus clearly, obviously, didn't feel that way here. Right. And he went somewhere where hopefully he will be valued, because I do think he's a good player. Is he great? Is he top, you know, 10, 15? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But he was, for us, at least last season, he was that goal line, I'm going to run through you, get into the end zone, running back for us. So I appreciate Gus for that.
Indeed. And nobody wants to sit behind Justice Hill. Next up with the Florida Ravens, we have Devin Duvernay signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That one had me left me scratching my head, especially during the first wave of free agency. I believe that they could have gotten him later on for a lot less. And to me, I don't know what they were saying, because we've spoke about this before. They think that I hate Devin Duvernay. I don't hate him. I just see that the way the game is going, they're phasing out kickoffs. Like, they're doing everything they can to phase it out. And yes, he's an all pro. He had an all pro season returning kicks. But if you're not returning kicks, what are you there for? You returned 32 kicks during 17 games. And I know he got injured, but 32 kicks. And I know that the Jacksonville Jaguars don't see him as a receiver. He's not a replacement for Calvin Ridley. So that one left me scratching my head. But once again, go get your money, young man.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the Duvernay. I didn't understand that one. But at the end of the day, you go where the money, you know, when your name is called and that money is there, you go. So.
Yeah, I mean, what did they call him? Little Debo Samuels?
I think so. I mean, I'm happy. He got paid.
He's supposed to be at Debo. The man did his job. I mean, Brodney thinks that I hate him because I said that they should have cut him last season. And the only reason because he had a $4 million cap hit. And that $4 million wasn't going to be used in anything that was going to kind of alter any games. If you saw that game winning touchdown, that was Tylan Wallace.
Yeah, that sure was.
And if he can give us that production at a third of the money, why not go for it? That $4 million could have went to somebody else. That $4 million could have gone into the negotiation to actually getting Derrick Henry during last season and using him during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they didn't call plays for him, but something happened. So Devin Duvernay used to be fast. He was really shifty and fast, but something happened after his injury. He just is stiff, and he just can't move. And, you know, but to your point, we said this a couple seasons ago when Bateman was our number one, y'all said, let the young boys burn, give them time to cook. And we put the young boys on the field and they did not produce.
Did not. So that wasn't too terrible of a loss for me. You know, it was, you know, and it wasn't too much of a shock. Like, oh, okay, we lost Duvernay, but happy for him. We'll see how they utilize him in Jacksonville.
True. Now this one may be addition by subtraction. We have John Simpson signing with Baltimore North, the New York Jets. With Joe Douglas as their general manager, he brings in all the Ravens that he can. Now, for me, John Simpson may have not been the best guard, but once again, please have a plan in place. Please, I didn't want them to resign, but please have a plan in place. There are a couple of guards that may still be out there left over, but slim pickings. We can't have 3/5 of our line rookies.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
No.
Unfortunately.
I can't see that.
Tell me a scenario otherwise. I'll wait.
We're going to get into this later, but there's still some guys out there.
Hendo, and people in the chat, who's on your wish list for offensive linemen?
We're going to get into that later. We're going to get into that. You know, but they still have Ben Cleveland, who may be serviceable until they can find. So, listen, he didn't play as bad as people thought he was last year.
He wasn't horrible.
I'm not saying he was outstanding. John Simpson wasn't great.
He was not.
They could re-sign Kevin Zeitler. And like Brodney said, they could bring back Bradley Bozeman, who actually played guard before he jumped in at center.
Okay. You know? But are they doing it? What are they waiting on?
He said, EDC all day. You want to have another tirade and tell me how hot, how he is? Bruh, we don't have starting guards. We don't have a starting tackle. We don't have a backup running back. We don't have a number one wide receiver. You let this happen. You let us lose all these free agents at one time, and we're still not done losing them. Are you telling me he's the best? Are you telling me he's out here cooking? I mean, I'm seriously asking the question. You telling me he out here cooking? He may not be what you said, but he ain't doing all these great things that people have said he's doing.
I'm just going to hold out hope, okay? I'm just going to continue to hold out hope until the end of this, until after the draft.
So Daniel Falele is 6'8", who can't move his feet. Jason Voorhees is 6'6", and can't stay healthy. He didn't stay healthy in college. He didn't stay healthy at the combine. So we expect him now to come into the NFL with no experience and just jump into a starting role. This man has not played one down in the NFL. He's not acclimated to the speed. He does not know what to expect. So now you want me to really believe dude is just going to come up and be a starting guard in the NFL. And we've said this before. Yolanda said this on her channel, LBHT coach. We put too much pressure on young guys to come in and carry a franchise. Lamar Jackson is our franchise. As well as the defense is playing, we don't go anywhere without Lamar. And if you don't protect him, it's not going to work. All right, next free agent up. This really ain't going to matter. Tyler Ott signs with the Commies. Really don't care. He was an injury replacement last year anyway, so good riddance to bad rubbish. All right, Delshawn Phillips signs with the Houston Texans, predominantly a special teamer. Yeah. We find those guys every day, twice on Sunday, so to me that's not a big deal. Was that a big deal to you?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. All right. And last but not least, and it's been a lot. We've lost a lot of people in the first week. But last but not least, Geno Stone signs with the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you think this loss is actually going to hurt the Ravens because of the way that the defensive scheme was run last year? They used a three safety set. And being that we don't have that third safety right now, but we do have a new defensive coordinator, so we might not run the same scheme. Do you think that loss is going to hurt us? And do you think that it's going to actually help the Cincinnati Bengals? Excuse me.
I think it depends on what our new defensive coordinator, what scheme he runs. I don't know that we can answer that until we see what he plans to do. I was bothered by this, by losing Geno Stone. I really like Geno. I thought he did great for us. And the fact that he's now with the Bengals hurts. That's painful. That's like the same way I feel about Patrick Queen to the Steelers and now Tyler Huntley to the Browns. Yeah. So I do think Geno is going to do great. I think he's going to do well in Cincinnati. I don't expect anything less than him doing a fantastic job and having a good season for them. So I think the Bengals benefited from that acquisition.
Correct. And yes, thanks. Listen, you need defense. Like you need a complete team. You need offense, defense, special teams. But as we have laid this out before, since Lamar Jackson has become the starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens have averaged 13 points per game in the postseason. Take out the Houston Texans game, they have averaged 9 points per game. What Super Bowl are you winning averaging 13 points a game? So I'm not saying the defense is not important, but if you can't score points, how are you going to win a Super Bowl? And we keep doing the same thing every year. We need more defense. We need more defense. Okay, we're holding teams under two touchdowns. You're telling me you can't get to a Super Bowl holding teams under two touchdowns per game, but we need more defense? If that's the case, the defense needs to start holding teams to 6 points, and maybe we'll go somewhere. Yeah. That's my only point.
Before you leave from D-Banks, I just wanted to say really quickly here, I have to respectfully disagree with you. Our team's identity is still defense and the run game. We had no run game. When we made it to the AFC Championship, what run game did we have? So if that's our identity, you don't stray from it. You do what works, right? So did we do that? Because certainly if we did, I think the outcome would have been different.
Facts. All right, now we're going to get to the fun part. Re-signings. We're gonna go into who the Ravens re-signed this offseason. And they signed Brent Urban, Malik Harrison, Madarius Washington, and Josh Johnson.
The end. That was quick.
But listen, all of those are 1 year deals. Except for, I will say, except for possibly Ardarius Washington, I think he can have a bigger impact than most of the others. Malik Harrison, if he can put it all together and actually get a starting role, because he does set the edge very well.
He does.
And he's very physical. He's just not on the field. And I don't know if that was with the addition of Roquan. It kind of phased him out. But I think they can have impacts, not the splashy signings, but they brought back some core players.
Yeah.
He's reliable and he knows the system.
I don't have an answer. Jared, why did we bring him back? Why did we re-sign Josh? I don't know.
I'm speechless. All right, I'm going to get into trades. Excuse me. And the only trade that the Ravens made was Morgan Moses to the New York Baltimore Raven Jets. And listen. Two of our starting offensive linemen are now up there protecting Aaron Rodgers, and they signed Tyron Smith. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to protect their quarterback. They saw what happened when their quarterback went down with injury, how the team performed. So they're trying to build a wall around him to get him that protection so he can possibly bring the Jets back from the longest playoff drought in major league sports. And Joe Douglas might want to call EDC and say, bruh, this is how you do for your quarterback. When you have a franchise quarterback, you build a wall around him. You get him a stud running back because Breece Hall is the man.
He is. He really is. So I think it goes back to your point that you said earlier, Hendo, that it's okay if we are going to trade, release our O-linemen. Hi, Brandon. It's okay if that is our plan. But let's make sure that we have an alternative plan before we do that. Let's make sure that we have, I guess, an action plan to put someone in place to build that wall around Lamar, because that is extremely important.
Right. So he's Aaron Rodgers better learn how to run. Facts. Mm-hmm. I didn't go lie. Facts. All right. Last, but definitely not least, we get to the roster cuts. And the Ravens had 2 roster cuts to help them get under the salary cap. So possibly this week, second wave, Ravens have been known during the second wave of free agency to be a little more active than they normally are during the first wave. But the first cut that the Ravens had was Odell Beckham Jr. He has been released. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Like he cost us $15 million last season, and with the void years that they added, now we have dead money on top of that. So that adds up against the salary cap. So thank you, Odell Beckham, for nothing. I know that a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, he unified that wide receiver room. He made people better. Who did he make better? I love Odell. I love the player Odell Beckham Jr. I like the dude. Like, but who did he make better? Because Nelson Aguilar wasn't better.
It could have been Zay Flowers. Here is a rookie who doesn't know anything in terms of being in the league.
Okay.
And now you are sharing space with someone who is so well known, someone who Zay Flowers arguably watched growing up in the, you know, like, oh, wow, I would love to be able to do or to accomplish what Odell Beckham Jr. has. And now you're playing your teammates with them. So it could have gone a long way for Zay Flowers.
So I paid $15 million for him to 2-1 person. Good to go. Good to go. All right. Next person released was Tyus Bowser.
Hurt a little bit.
I didn't like that one.
That one hurt. I knew it was going to happen.
Yes.
Right. So it was not that I was, you know, disillusioned, like, oh no, this, they're going to work this out. They're going to come to terms and come to an agreement. No, I understood. I saw the writing on the wall, just like everyone else did. He had a mysterious injury that kept him off the field the entire season. And then when John Harbaugh was asked about him during different pressers, it was kind of, now you tell me what that means. I don't know. But I figured it was going to happen. I still don't like it, though, because remembering Tyus from the last time that he played, I enjoyed watching him. He was a very good player. And it remains to be seen if he'll be the same player or close to it now that he's returning from an injury, but this one hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it took the void years out, but we still have dead money. Yeah, you know what? For some reason, I feel like Tyus Bowles has been on the team for like 10 years. I felt like he's an old man or something, like, but he's not. And I thought, and he, not in think, he is one of the Ravens' better defenders. He plays the run, he plays the pass, he sets the edge. He did it all, but just they just had a falling out. And the rumor was he injured himself playing basketball. And the Ravens didn't want to give him his money because he got injured doing non-football things. Mm-hmm. So that became a disconnect between him and the team, and they just fought back and forth. And he was like, all right, cool. I ain't got to play for y'all no more. And he sat out, and it just went back and forth. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it together, but that does not mean that a reunion is not possible, just at a lower salary cap.
Yeah, but
all right. And last but not least, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say he'd have Thanks. To.
Restructure. No, restructures. We got one restructure. Ronnie Stanley restructured his contract, freeing up some money. He was going to count $26.2 million against the cap this season. It also brings down his cap hit for next season. The question is, do you think they should have moved on from Ronnie Stanley, or do you think that they did the right thing by restructuring his contract?
For this season only, I will speak. They did the right thing by restructuring his contract. We are already down big time in terms of offensive linemen. We cannot afford anymore. So I'm happy that they restructured for this year, and we'll take it day by day throughout this season. We'll revisit this again next offseason. But right now, I don't think that they could have afforded to move on from Ronnie Stanley and literally have that offensive line hanging by a thread and only Tyler Linderbaum there at the seams.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Why can they not move on from Ronnie Stanley?
Because who is the replacement?
First of all, Chef EDC always has a plan. You can't tell me for the last several years when Ronnie Stanley was injured, EDC didn't have his replacement in hand. Not the cook, not the chef, not Raekwon.
I don't know what he has had in his, you know, cooking in the kitchen, because I'm not in the kitchen with him. I can only speak to what we have right now. We have, hi Raven Ron, we have a lot of holes, especially on this offensive line as it is. Now to take Ronnie Stanley out of the picture, he is not performing, you know, top level, top tier anymore. And he hasn't since his injury. But who do you replace him with?
Keith Sweat said it best. Nobody. Because we ain't got nobody.
Nobody.
No, that's not what I wanted. Who do I want? What do I want? Oh, wish list. There we go. So now we are at the wish list. Now that the first week of free agency is done, who should the Ravens target next? With whom do you have on your wish list for the Ravens to sign? Hopefully sometime in the upcoming week or so, possibly tomorrow. You know, things be jumping on a Monday.
I'll start with like the chat. Let us know. Where do you think, in all of the free agents that are out there, where do you think our biggest need lies? Offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver?
Mm-hmm.
Running back.
Mm-hmm.
I even heard somebody add, can we pick up another cornerback as a depth piece? So out of those positions, who would you like to add on your wish list?
I'm going to say this. No, 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 no. Because every year, and I understand free agency, trades, injuries, whatever, every year teams have needs, right? Why is it every year the Ravens need a wide receiver? Why is it every year the Ravens need a running back? Why is it every year the Ravens need an offensive lineman? Why is it every year the Ravens need an edge rusher? Why is it every year the Ravens need a cornerback? Does that not fall on the general manager? Because every year we keep having these same needs. Even though we drafted some cornerbacks, we still need more?
We do, because where's Pepe Williams?
Jalen Armour Davis?
Where's Jalen Armour Davis? I can really not even remember his name most of the time. I just remember his initials, JAD. Where are they?
Because my thing is this. Just like y'all just told me, we didn't draw plays for Devin Duvernay. Why are we not letting these young boys cook at cornerback? Since it's so easy to let the young wide receivers come in and they're not getting burned and the Ravens isn't doing them wrong and they taking away from them, why are we not talking about let the young guys play at cornerback? Why don't we ever talk about that? When it comes to defense, we never say, let the young guys play. We always say, we need to find a replacement. We need to draft somebody in the first round. But when it comes to offense, oh, we got somebody on the roster. They'll pick somebody up.
I think it just falls under the umbrella of we are a defense first team. We are a, you know, hard nose defense, and that's where the focus has always been. But now you have to shift your focus as your team grows and as your team develops and as the talent that you bring in, i.e. Lamar Jackson, something that you've never had heretofore. As that evolves, so does your mentality also need to evolve.
That's what we're hoping this season. Because the Ravens said, we're doing something different this year. And okay. I'm holding them to their word.
I'm going to hold them to their word too.
Me personally, Trent Brown's still out there. Dalton Risner's still out there. I did a video last year saying we should have went and got Dalton Risner. Position solved. Got him signed into a long-term deal. Tyler Boyd's out there. Mike Williams. I mean, my thing is, it's not always necessarily about the big name. It's about upgrading what you have. And like Terry says, the draft got a hit. Outside of the Tyler Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton draft, what draft has hit? Now, we may have had pieces sprinkled out here and there, but what draft has hit? When has EDC went into a draft? He was like, bam, 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 bam. Yeah, he did his thing and we set up for the future. Because every year after every draft, every time EDC drafts a position, we got to go back in free agency and replace the specific position that he drafted. Am I lying?
No, that's true. That is true. It's sad, but true. But I am going to, as I keep saying, I am going to continue to, I'm going to hold them accountable. The front office said that they're going to do something different this year. They're not going to be the definition of insanity. We all know it, doing the same thing over and over again, and you want a different outcome. They said they're going to change. They said they're going to try something different. So I'm waiting. I want to see what this week brings. Make sure you turn on your post notifications. Make sure you are subscribed to all of our channels, because if this is a busy week, which I hope it will be for the Ravens, you can expect to see us often.
Linderbaum was a slam dunk pick. I'm saying outside of that draft, and I'm not saying he hasn't drafted people. I'm just saying, when has he had a solid draft class?
Right. Yeah, I think Raven Ronnie was saying that Linderbaum was a solid draft pick. Kyle Hamilton, also solid draft pick. But just in the totality of an entire draft, when has EDC actually, when could we say that we would give him an A for his overall draft?
So, you know, we as fans at the end of the day don't know what teams truly need. We were the best team in the league. No, Kansas City was the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And Kansas City was the best team in the league the year before that. Unless you want to do like we make fun of the Cleveland Browns every year when we say the Cleveland Browns were the preseason champions. They were the offseason champs. Okay, we're the regular season champs. When is this going to translate into Super Bowls or a Super Bowl? If you can continuously say we have the best team in the league, why are we not winning Super Bowls?
I disagree with you, D-Banks. I think we were the best team in the league on paper, and that's given the schedule that we were handed. Had we played the Chiefs during the regular season, who knows what that outcome would have been? Because true enough, the Chiefs didn't look like themselves during a lot of the regular season. But when it mattered most, they looked like the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They were the Chiefs. They came into our stadium and demonstrated what it means to be a Chief. And then they went on to win a Super Bowl. 3 out of the last 5. Thanks. So,
what's going on, BP? I agree with you and I disagree with you. I agree with you on the statement at hand. But listen, I don't know why it irks me. I have a problem when people call somebody else a casual fan, because we don't really know what kind of fan anybody else is. Just because one person may feel like they have more knowledge than somebody else doesn't make somebody a casual fan. We all have our opinions, whether they're right, wrong, good or bad. We all have our opinions. That doesn't make somebody casual. Somebody's going to tell me I'm a casual fan. I've been a fan since 1996, and I live in Baltimore, and I've been there. I've been to the Colts games. But people say what they want, but I just don't like when people are like, oh, casual, casual. You don't know football. We don't know what people know. It's just somebody's opinion that we just don't agree with. I'm sorry, I just had to go on that rant. All right, next up, we're going to go with your man, Patrick Queen. He had his introductory press conference with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and apparently your man got a little bit saucy. He was a little bit zesty, as they say in D.C. Your man was real zesty talking about your nonsense. I actually watched the press conference, well, some of the press conference, and heard him talk. And I think they hit a nerve with him when they asked him about the addition of Roquan Smith to the Ravens. And he was like, yeah, you know, he brought to the table. He taught me some things, but I'm my own person. I was balling before he got here. And I think they hit a nerve with him. And I think, to me, one of the reasons he went to the Steelers is to kind of show up the Ravens and kind of let them know what they may have lost. This is what y'all missing out on, just to be petty, because he could have waited. And me personally, I think the Patrick Queen could have got a lot more money. If he'd have waited in free agency, I think another team would have paid him more than $13.5 million. But for him, it wasn't about the money. It was about some get back.
Certainly. That could absolutely be true. And I mean, I think Patrick Queen is getting tired of hearing all of the naysayers, because what I took away from the part of the press conference that I listened to was that he was tired. he was tired of a fan base that really just kind of turned on him. When he was with the Ravens, you know, last season, we sang his praises. Oh, he's great. He's solid. He's a good performer. We like Patrick Queen. He then goes out there, makes his money elsewhere. Oh, well, he was a bum anyway. They're not getting anything. He's not going to do much. I mean, he really wasn't all of that unless Roquan helped him. So right. The narrative changed. And you, at the end of the day, we have to remember that, yes, these players are just that. They're players. But at the heart of it, they're human beings, too. They have feelings, just like you have feelings. And just because their salary just because their salary might be in the millions doesn't mean that they're not human beings at the end of the day.
This is true.
So when he hears people talking about him and saying these mean things, it gets to him, just like it would get to anyone else. Sure, you can put on the role and put on the hat and say, oh, you know, it doesn't bother me and I don't care what people say. And well, that certainly might be true, but he's been with this organization, with a part of this fan base for all of his career.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they turn their backs on him. And so it's tough.
Right. And you're right, Chase. This feels as soft as this coverage on tight ends. I don't like to talk about people when they're gone, but it is. He's a sensitive young man. He's out there on Twitter cussing people out and stuff. Like, bruh, I hate to say this, but yo, you're a millionaire. Have millionaire problems. Stop worrying about what regular people have to say. And I understand sometimes it hurts, especially when you go out on the field and you give your blood, sweat, and tears. And you've given everything to a franchise and its fan base, and they just turn on you like that. But come on, bro. Like, you got other things that you need to worry about other than people saying you solved, Roquan made you. But like Raven Ron said, I can't wait for Derrick Henry to run him over. Because in case that young man forgot, on the preview of Madden Football, they have Josh Allen running him over. Mm. Yeah, that's that. All right, last up, we got AFC North talk. Teams in the division have made some moves. Do you or anyone in the chat, do you believe that any team in the division has caught up to the Ravens talent-wise? Now, I know that there's been some quarterback moves, some wide receiver moves, some defensive moves. But to you all, do you think by any chance that as a talent level, the disparity has kind of shifted? The Ravens have lost some players. They may lose some more, and other teams gaining ground. Do you think they caught up with us? Do you think that we have an actual challenger for the division title this upcoming season?
Absolutely, we do. And I don't know that I can say that any other team has caught up with us. I think we're trying to catch up with some other teams, because if we look at the Bengals, and I mean, when I'm talking strictly here about offense, when we look at the Bengals, they have Joe Burrow, who is to me a fantastic quarterback if he can stay healthy. And that's a big if. But look at the talent that surrounds him. Do we have a Jamar Chase? Do we have a T. Higgins? I know Joe Mixon is no longer there, but these are the types of players, right, that he was surrounded with. So when we're talking about, are we, you know, have we caught up, or I'm sorry, have other teams caught up with us? Hello? Are we trying to catch up with some of these other ones in the North, namely the Bengals? And now we cannot overlook the Browns. Steelers,
I can't call it, but looking at the Bengals, and I've watched their games last season, Browning, he played, and some say he played better than Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow coming back may not be a good thing. And also, they have the situation with T. Higgins. He requested a trade. Mm-hmm. So T. Higgins may not be there. And I think Joe Mixon is going to be a big loss. I know they replaced him, but Joe Mixon going to the Houston Texans. Listen, Houston Texans, they may be serious contenders to the Ravens next season.
They are.
So we need to look out. But let's look at some of the moves that these other teams have made before we get on up out of here. We're going to start with the Cincinnati Bengals. These Cincinnati Bengals, they franchise tag T. Higgins, signed Zach Moss to replace Joe Mixon, signed tight end Mike Gesicki, who has that dirty, ugly, gritty, signed Geno Stone, signed tight end Irv Smith, and once again, waived Joe Mixon. So to me, unless they make some splashes and they do that Justin Jefferson for T. Higgins trade, I ain't worried about the Bengals.
I am. I said it last week. If there is one team, if there's one player who I do not want to go to one team, it's for me, Justin Jefferson to the Bengals. Please no. Just no. No.
Yeah, I can agree with that one. We should get him. And I know a lot of people, for some reason, and I don't get, listen, I understand a lot of arguments on both sides. Like, I know sometimes I disagree and I argue with people just for the fun of it. But I do not understand for the life of me why Ravens fans say, I don't want Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson got Kirk Cousins $180 million.
Again.
He, arguably, best wide receiver in the league. Arguably the best wide receiver in the league. Why is it that we always don't want talent on offense? Because, well, to me personally, I believe that if we get all the talent around Lamar Jackson that he needs, if the team fails, what can people blame then? Now they have to start looking at the head coach. Now, I think it shifted a little bit more this offseason, but in the past, it was like, let's make all these excuses for John Harbaugh. And if we take them away, what's next? But I never would understand. And people can always say, well, he's going to take away targets from this person. No, he's not. If you get open, you get the ball. If you get open, you get the ball. If Justin Jefferson gets 2,000 yards and 22 touchdowns, who cares who got the ball? That's going to help us win a Super Bowl. And I do think that Lamar needs that wide receiver that at times I can just throw it up to. I don't need your boy, Isaiah Likely, putting his hand up in triple coverage. I don't need that. If Justin Jefferson puts his hand up, every time. I don't care what happens. Every time. Because I know he's going to get it. He's going to knock it down. So I just never understood that portion of it.
Speaking of Isaiah Likely, really quickly, I saw, I read an article. What about, or how do you all feel about Likely to the 49ers in exchange for Debo?
Do it.
I'd take Brandon Ayuk, but Debo too. I would rather Brandon Ayuk, but Isaiah Likely in exchange for, hi, Chocolate Lady Cab, in exchange for Debo.
And I understand that trade scenario. They have George Kittle. What do they want with Isaiah Likely? He just said, Mark. Agree.
Mark.
1,000%. Send Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews doesn't look the same to me. He looks like he's slowing down. Like the injuries have taken its toll on him, and he's not moving. He's just not moving the same. I mean, who don't get hurt? But guess what? I'll say this again, and I know that I'm going to say it at the beginning of the season. I couldn't care less what happens during the regular season. As long as come playoff time, everybody's healthy. I said I wanted Tyron Smith. People said he gets hurt too much. He's always there for the playoffs. And at this advanced age, he's still one of the best left tackles in the game. Put him to the right side or put him to the left. Do something with Stanley. It doesn't matter. As long as you're willing and ready and able to play during the playoffs, that's all I care about. These statistics during the regular season mean nothing. Number one in points per game. Number one in sacks. Number one in turnover differential. Didn't mean a thing come playoff time. So get me who you get me. But next up, we have the Cleveland Browns. And the Cleveland Browns traded for Jerry Jeudy. A lot of people said, especially some Ravens publication, oh, this doesn't move the needle. Why does it not? You have Amari Cooper on one side, Jerry Jeudy on the other side. What do you mean it doesn't move the needle? Yes, it does. It gives them another offensive weapon. And if during the season sometime Nick Chubb comes back and he's half of what Nick Chubb is, they ball. And then they have David Njoku at tight end. Come on, bro. This helps them a lot. They also signed former Pittsburgh Steeler reject Devin Bush and Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley. And they also signed former Raven Za'Darius Smith. It's a lot of Ravens ops on these
other teams. A lot of Ravens over there.
It's a lot of Ravens ops. And I told y'all this, you know, the casual fan that I am. I told y'all before the season, the Browns are going to challenge Baltimore for the title, for the AFC North title. And y'all say, you don't know football. What are you talking about? They're the Browns. They're not going to do anything. Yeah, they put a scare on us a little bit. Well, not scare, because we weren't scared, but they came forth. And they did it with five starting quarterbacks, and they didn't have Nick Chubb. Imagine if they had Nick Chubb running the ball. Ooh. It's a whole nother team.
Yeah.
That's running back in the NFL, or arguably with Christian McCaffrey, but top two in the NFL. So if they can get things right and they can get him healthy, they may cut him. I heard rumor that they may cut Nick Chubb. That bodes well for us,
I guess.
Yeah. It says, thank you for joining Simpson and Morgan Moses. You're welcome. And listen, big fella, if you are a New York Jets fan, don't thank us just yet.
Come back and let us know.
Don't thank us just yet. Listen. If you're a New York Jets fan and haven't seen Morgan Moses will turn the face and John Simpson will turn the face the quarterback when they're supposed to be blocking downfield. Like they'll be facing the quarterback looking around like, what you want me to do? What you want me to do? So yeah. Ugh. All right. Last but not least, we got Suge Knight's Pittsburgh Steelers. They traded for Russell Wilson. They traded for Justin Fields. They signed Patrick Queen. They also signed former Raven safety Deshaun Elliott. They traded away Kenny Pickett. They traded away Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers, and they released Patrick Peterson, Allen Robinson, and safety Keanu Neal. Now, this is the biggest question that I have for everybody in the chat and yourself, Yolanda. With these moves, because even without, and we're not going to count week 18, even without a top-notch offense, a top-notch quarterback, the Steelers beat us. The Ravens are what, 1-7? Because Suge loves telling us the Ravens are 1-7. In their last eight games versus the Steelers, and they were a quarterback away. They averaged 7-9 points a game? Like through the first 11 games, somehow they were terrible, but they still had a winning record. Like they set a record in the NFL. Yeah. So you have Russell Wilson, and if he's not playing well, you bring in running back Justin Fields. Here's a joke. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But you bring in Justin Fields. They have George. I should have drafted you over David Ojabo Pickens. It's another video for another time. They have Najee Harris, his backup that Patrick Queen was beefing with. That's probably better than Najee to me. They still have Calvin Austin, Pat Freiermuth. So offensively, they may be able to click. And once again, free agency is not over yet. Then you add a Patrick Queen to that defense, which is also getting better. And they have all world TJ Watt. So to me, do you think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are the greatest threat now to the Baltimore Ravens going into the 2024 season?
No, not yet. I need to see how their quarterback situation is going to look. How is Russell Wilson going to do? Hi, Doncy. How's Russell Wilson going to do in this new scheme? I don't know. We'll see. And Justin Fields, same thing. I don't know. We'll see. So I'm not going to put them as the biggest threat. I still think the bigger threats, at least right now, Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. And then at number one for me would be the Bengals. Cleveland two, and then three as the would be the Steelers. But we'll see.
So is that because the Cincinnati Bengals had the experience of getting there and doing that? Because they've actually been to a Super Bowl. They've beaten Patrick Mahomes twice at home. So they have the pedigree to go out and win games wherever they're at. I just think that they've lost a little bit. Like they've lost some linemen. They lost some skill position players. If they lose T. Higgins without replacing him adequately, I mean, and then you have You have to hope Joe Burrow plays the full season.
You do. You and again, I preface that by saying, to me, the Bengals are the biggest threat if Joe Burrow can stay healthy. Because I find in that team, in that organization, they are not afraid to give their franchise quarterback what he needs to succeed. And like you said, we're only a week into this free agency.
Right.
They have plenty of opportunity to continue to make moves.
Facts.
And I don't have any reason to believe that they would not.
So. Okay. I mean, I think that's a good note to close out on. You have anything else you want to say outside of April 6th? It has been finalized. We have the list of everyone that's going. We're taking the Patriots out to Raven Stadium to tour M&T Bank Stadium, then go out and get something to eat, maybe a little drink. Who knows? I'm not going to drink. Kids probably be there. But we're going to hang out, have a good time. Maybe next year. Or maybe we'll do another one. Listen, if the demand is there, we'll host another trip later in the season, maybe closer to the season, during the season, preseason or so. If that's what you guys want, appreciate you. Listen, it's still 172 people in here. Like, wow. This is a career high for me. I'm not used to this love. I know a lot of it has to do coming from your longest channel. I know that's where everybody's coming from. I appreciate you, the new people coming in here. Hey, make sure you come back every Sunday, 7 p.m. We're here to discuss the Ravens football. We're here to talk about anything that you want. Because, yes, we do sports, but this is a community. And we do what we want because it's our channel, right? It's not that's my right. channel. It's our channel. We talk about what we want to talk about. And yes, Hawk TV, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Listen, I am 14 people away. 14 Ooh. People away from 3,900 subs.
We got to keep the stream going. 14. No. Wherever you are right now, if you're watching this, take 2.5. Share this video with a family member, with a friend. Let this be the gift that keeps on giving. 14 away. Let's do it right now. Show us how awesome you all are because we know that you guys are. Send it. Share it on your socials. Do that right now. Take 2.5. We'll be right here. We're not going anywhere. We're going to get him up to that 14 mark.
Appreciate you. Yeah, because it's weird. Like, this is weird to me. You know, I didn't even want to stream tonight, to be honest with you. You got to thank your girl over there, because I didn't want to stream at all. I was just like, I'm tired. You know, I've been rolling, doing videos and stuff all week. Like, I just wanted to take a break. But she was like, you got to do it for the people. And I'm like, listen, if they like it, I love it. And I'll keep doing it. And apparently y'all like it, because I told y'all from the beginning, my hope was 50 subs and at least five people that actually came and listened to what I had to say. Whether it's right or it's wrong, it's indifferent. I'm not saying that all my views are correct. I'm giving you my opinion from my perspective. You know, I know a lot of people like to come in here and be combative. But once again, if you do it respectfully, I have no problem with having a debate, a discussion with anybody. But what we're going to do is we're going to respect me. We're going to respect her. We're going to respect everybody else in the chat, because it's all opinion. And all of us could be wrong. All of us.
Yeah.
So let's not take things so serious. Enjoy the football. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's sports. It's supposed to be entertainment. What we're doing right here, right now, this is entertainment. And everybody want to get all mad and they feel it. So you said that. Get your panties out of ward. I'm sorry. I don't even know if I got those 14 subscribers yet. But, you know, it's almost time to go. Listen, people have been here for over an hour. This was only supposed to be a half-hour stream. I guess we had too much talk for it to be a half hour.
Like I said earlier, please make sure you are subscribed and turn on your post notifications, because as we expect our Baltimore Ravens to take care of business on that end of free agency, you can expect to see us on this end of YouTube. So make sure you're locked in with us, because you don't want to miss any of that fire content that's going to be released on these channels this upcoming week.
My contact Nana is The Rogue Pod. Everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. The Rogue Pod. You know, appreciate y'all. Shout out to the newest patron. She's going to be there for the stadium tour. I'm trying to get her on Hanging with Hendo. It's the stream that we do for the patrons with the patrons. They get to come up, talk, speak their mind, do a lot of dope stuff. I'm trying to get her to come on. And Yolanda's there sometimes, Coco Melon. So, you know, it's nothing big. It's nothing slight. We just sit there and we just talk about life. There she go. Where you been at? Where you been at? I had something to talk to you about, too. Where you been? Let me see. That don't work for me. Listen, make sure that you also go over to Ravens Talk with Yolanda. We just got her past the 100 sub mark. We're trying to get her to that 1,000. We're trying to get her monetized so she can start getting paid for those videos. Because that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I keep putting out videos. I'm trying to get paid.
Yes. Thank you. But Danity, good to see you. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're well. You know, I was thinking the other day, I said, I tried to put something in someone's channel when they were talking. I said, this don't even sound right. Where is Danity? She just, it just flows so nicely when she moderates and she just encourages people Danity, in the chat. So
Danity keeps checking, keeps the stream in check.
He does. I give it to him. I tip my hat off. I was like, what am I supposed to say again? Hit the like button, do something else, subscribe. Oh, where's Danity?
What's going on?
Glad you enjoyed the show tonight.
Yes, indeed. We're going to get up out of here. Yolanda, thank you for co-hosting with me, being at Brodney. Just being Brodney. Do you want to hit everybody with my saying?
I should.
What am I trying to say? Do you remember it? Because I haven't said it in so long. Okay. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up.
No pressure. No pressure.
Are you typing or are you going to say it?
I'm going to say it. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. As always, we encourage you to think for yourself, never give in to conformity, formulate your own opinions, and do important things because you are certainly important.
Wrong. That is not the last saying. The last saying is make sure, above all else, be somebody important.
Yes.
Be yourself. Until next time, y'all.